Grace and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I grew up in a rather strict home. My mom, well, many of you know her, she was a pushover. She didn't know how to be strict. I don't think she has a strict bone in her body. Her idea of laying down the law was simply to say, "Now, kids, I don't want to have to tell your father about this when he comes home, but I will if you don't stop." But my dad, well, he was strict enough for both of them. He expected us children to be obedient and well-behaved and respectful at all times and in all places, whether he was present or not. He expected us to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the pastor's family. And for him, this meant in a manner that measured up to the high standards of the pastoral office itself, a manner that would earn the respect and set the standard for all the families in the congregation. My guess is that is how a lot of pastors' families function, which is precisely why so many pastors' kids, or PKs as we are called, are either really good kids or really, really bad kids. The children of pastors either buy in wholeheartedly to this life of living worthy of their position as the pastor's family, or they wholeheartedly reject and resent all that, and they do everything in their power to distance themselves from it. The problem is that too many pastors have focused on the law aspect of living a life worthy of the pastor's family rather than on a gospel aspect. They have focused on their children being obedient and respectful and well-behaved, the keeping of the rules, so to speak, instead of on being loving and forgiving and full of mercy, what we might call being merciful. Living a life worthy of the pastor's family to many pastors, and I would guess to many congregational members too, has more to do with moral character and virtue than it does with a faith-filled, merciful heart. And so it is that when many people read the words of our text this morning from Philippians 1:27, they read it with this same law mindset. Paul said, "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ." Now, I think what most people hear in Paul's words here is this. What I'd venture to say that probably many of us hear is a call by Paul for us to live morally upright lives. But that's not really a life that reflects the gospel. That's a life that reflects the law. We must remember that when Paul wrote these words, he was writing them from prison to the Philippian people, probably under house arrest in Rome at the time. His witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ had become increasingly more difficult. And he recognized that soon he may even have to die as part of this witness for Jesus. He has just said in his writing that he expects and hopes that he will in no way be ashamed of his faith in Christ, but that he will have sufficient courage to be a witness for Jesus, even if that should mean his death. All of which is precisely what it means to conduct oneself in a manner worthy of the gospel. It means to have the courage to face any evil that threatens us, even death itself, and not to bend, not to bow, not to break, but to stand firm and to cling to Jesus. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, tells us that God loves us with a never-ending love. It proclaims to us that God has forgiven our sins because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus. It assures us that God will always be with us and that nothing can separate us from His love, not even death. And finally, it informs us that one day Jesus is coming back to this earth in the same way that He left it, in order to raise us from the dead and to welcome us into His eternal kingdom of heaven. And thus, to conduct oneself in a manner that is worthy of the gospel means to live a life that is full of spiritual courage and confidence. It means to say with King David in Psalm 23, you know the words well, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Or in Psalm 56 with King David, "In God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" It means to stand by the side of the apostles after they have been ordered to stop preaching in the name of this Jesus, and to say with them, "We must obey God rather than men." It is to appear before the Virgin Mary with the angel Gabriel and to announce to her that nothing is impossible with God. It is to confess with St. Paul that God is working in the midst of all things to bring about the good for those who love Him. And it is to sing with Martin Luther those words from "Mighty Fortresses Our God," "Though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not, we fear no ill. They shall not overpower us. And take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife, let these all be gone. They yet have nothing won. The kingdom ours remaineth." Jesus died on the cross, and He rose from the grave to defeat sin, death, and the power of the devil for us. To conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of this gospel is to live with the courage and the confidence that this gospel gives us. It does not mean that we are to live perfectly moral and virtuous lives. We all sin. We always will, as long as we are living in this world. But do we cling to and believe in God's word of forgiveness when we do sin? That's the question. Do we trust in God to work all things for good when we've just been diagnosed with cancer? That's the question. Do we believe that God loves us and always will? Even when we have failed to love others. That's the question. And do we face death with the courage of St. Paul, who said in our text today, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." That's the question. Paul said to the Philippian Christians, "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ." This is my plea. This is my prayer for us also. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior. Amen.